So I'm going to try and do my Astrid impression. The Summer Olympics are coming from Paris later this year. Actually, I probably ought to say I haven't fact-checked my wife's sermon at all. So if I say something that isn't true, please send her an email, not me, OK? The Summer Olympics are coming from Paris later this year. And for the first time ever, the opening ceremony is going to take place outside the Olympic Stadium. And that's never been done before. It's a first in Olympic history. So instead of a limited number of privileged ticket holders getting to watch that spectacular show and the athletes all parading inside an arena, it's actually going to be happening along the banks of the River Seine. And it's going to be free for anyone to come and see. So most of the spectators, most of the people watching, won't have paid anything. They'll just be able to turn up and see that opening ceremony. And for free, outside the stadium, spectators get to see what the Christian life looks like. If this is our arena, the main show of our faith, if you like, weaves its way through where we study and where we work and our homes and where we socialise. Most spectators won't actually see what goes on in here, but they will very definitely observe our lives on the outside. And in true Olympian style, the parade, if you like, that we're invited to participate in is also quite spectacular in its way. A spectacular Jesus lifestyle demonstrates humility and compassion and love and grace. A spectacular Jesus lifestyle is one where we're at the top of our game, except that our game isn't about speed or strength or being better than the other competitors. For a Christian, our Olympic life parade is modelled on the life of a man who was so love-driven that he willingly died on a cross to fix our broken relationship with God. Our Olympian life parade is hope-fueled because the Son of God was too powerful to be contained in a grave. Our Olympian life parade is spurred on because Jesus roars out encouragement from heaven to enable us to be the best that we can be. And so we should take our Christian Olympic life parade as seriously as any Olympic athlete going after a gold medal. There was a man called Paul who was very familiar with the ancient games in Greece. And he uses sporting language in what he wrote that became part of the Bible. He wrote this to the church in a place called Corinth. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the New Testament. And he also wrote to another church in a place called Philippi, and just one verse from the letter he wrote there, where he says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Eric Liddell, who won a gold medal at the Olympics, summarised those verses that I've just read to you at the time of the Paris 1924 Olympics, and he summarised them like this. He said, it's been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal, but since I've been a young lad, I've had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I've run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals. So if you're following Jesus, do you realise that you're competing in a race greater than any Olympic competition? Do you think about how you're training? Do you think about how you're running, how you're competing? I suspect today particularly, Dom's feeling quite pumped about the whole thing, maybe a bit like those Olympians who are going to be in Paris later in the year for that opening ceremony. He's focused, he's committed, he's ready for what lies ahead. That's what he was saying when he was up here a moment ago. And some of us are probably feeling in a very similar place in our own faith right now. It's like, we're ready for this. Yes, we're following hard after Jesus. We're going for it. But for some of us, we might be feeling a little bit more like another Olympian, somebody called Michael Phelps, who was highly decorated, won lots of awards, but who let sadness and disappointment cause a series of high-profile mistakes after the Olympic Games in Beijing. And sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we feel that we've let God down. Or we get hurt by the church or by other Christians, and we end up feeling sad and disappointed in God or in the other people around us. But the good news is that just as Phelps went to rehab and got back into training, actually so can we. We can get back into the race. Even if we feel like where we are right now is sitting on the sidelines, we can get back into the race. Another Olympian, somebody called Michelle Carter, said this: people notice how I'm living out my faith. Sometimes it takes me by surprise how much they notice. Even when no one is looking, the way I act is important because it's a reflection of how I walk with Christ. I wonder whether for some of us, we need to refocus on that goal, on that medal that we're running for. Now, of course, this is where the Olympics illustration breaks down a little, because for an Olympian, the parade outside the stadium is just pageantry and formality. All that really matters is what they do inside the arena behind those closed doors. Whereas for us, it's almost the exact opposite, isn't it? What matters is how we live outside the church. If we don't put into practice out there what we say we believe in here, then what we do in here is just pantomime, really, isn't it? What matters is how we live it out there. But when we do live it out, when we do put it into practice out in the real world, that can help people to see Jesus for who he really is. And sometimes it can even make somebody who's currently a spectator realise that they want to join in that race too. So we've just heard Dom talking about why he's running a Jesus-focused race. And he's running it well, and he's going to go far. But some of us are more than spectators. And we get to be, in a sense, we get to be trainer and coach and encourager to Dom as he runs his race, part of his team, if you like, to encourage him on that race. And of course, he gets to be the same to us. It may be that you've been a spectator and that you know that rather than running that race, actually what you've been doing is watching others run it and wondering maybe what it would be like to run it yourself. And it may be that you're in a place where you want to find out more about what it means to run that faith fueled race. Or it may be that you've heard the starting gun. And it may be that you know you're ready to go. You're on the blocks and it is time for you to start that race. When we get to the end of a church service here, we always give God the opportunity to talk to us and maybe for us to respond to him. So as I get to the end of what I'm saying, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And we're just going to take a couple of seconds to reflect and to talk to God, to do business with God. So I'm not going to ask you to do anything visible or out loud. This is between you and God. But I wonder, are you a spectator this morning, but who's got to the place where you realise you want to explore a little bit more about this race? Do you need to decide before God, or maybe in your heart say to God, hey, would you show me? Would you show me if this is real? Would you show me how to take the next step in getting to know you? What might that look like? Because I'm not prepared to go on being just a spectator. Or it may be that where you are this morning is that you realise you're an athlete, but you've become discouraged. And you've stood by the edge of the race rather than continuing to run. And it may be that what you need to say to God this morning is, hey, would you help me to get back into running the race that I have run before and I want to keep running? But I realise I've been standing by the outside handing out oranges rather than running. Again, just quietly in your heart, talk to God if that's you. Or it may be that you're pumped and raring to go. And it may be that what God's wanting to say to you is, here are some people that you can encourage as they run that race. Here are some people you can run alongside. If that's you, ask him who those people might be. Ask him who he might be leading you to encourage, even this week. So Lord, we know that you hear us as we pray. We know that you hear us as we talk to you. And I pray that as we have responded to you quietly in our hearts, Lord, would you take us at our word? And would you take us on that next step towards or into or along the race that you're leading us on in Jesus? We ask it in his name. Amen.